Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
One of the best pieces of mental health advice ever is the Bible's counsel and command to love your neighbor. One of the best antidotes to stress is the concern and the care of other people around you. I've known many Jehovah's Witnesses who've been able to overcome great stresses just because of the concern and the care of people around them, such as their Christian brothers and sisters.
That's an excerpt from a promotional video produced by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, also known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. We're going to be talking about the teachings and practices of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Dr. Ron Rhodes, join us for the remainder of this Thursday afternoon's program, December the 17th. You can join us too, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter your questions or comments to us at issuesetc. Dr. Ron Rhodes is founder and president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries based in Frisco, Texas. He's author of the book Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. In the course of our conversation with him, we're going to give away two copies of Ron's new book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. Ron, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be with you today.
Since it is very quickly the Christmas season, answer this one. Why won't the Jehovah's Witnesses be celebrating Christmas?
Well, you know, they think that it's rooted in a pagan holiday. They note that the ancient Roman Empire celebrated a pagan deity that was linked to the mystery religions. And so they think that Christians are actually celebrating a pagan holiday. However, the truth is that Christians refused to participate in that pagan ritual and came up with an alternative. And their alternative was to celebrate the birth of Christ, which in turn celebrates Christianity. So, in fact, it wasn't a participation in paganism. It was actually a stance against paganism. And so that's what Christians are really doing on Christmas.
Okay, Ron, very recently at the Wilkin House, there was a knock at the door. I went to the door. A very attractive young lady there with a kind of a backpack of materials wanted to start a conversation with me. Her first question was, do you think that there will ever be a time here on earth when there will be peace and an end to war? She then wanted to show me from a pamphlet that she had kind of pictures of an idyllic earth, people living there in perfect peace, and she wanted to tell me about a time coming here on earth when there would be an end to war and all human strife. I saw Watchtower Tract and Bible Tract Society. I saw the special Bible she was carrying, and I knew immediately that she was a Jehovah's Witness. But why did she start the conversation with me that way?
Well, I think that in our world, everybody has a natural yearning for peace. And when you look at that Watchtower literature, it really kind of communicates in a way that makes people really experientially yearn for that reality. And I'm sure, Todd, that you recognized how appealing the artwork was. They're really good at that art, and they've got some really nice printing presses, and when you look at it, it just looks like the most wonderful thing. But, you know, truth is not determined by experience or what you feel. Truth is determined by what is stated clearly in the Word of God, and that's where the Jehovah's Witnesses fall short. Certainly one day we will have peace, and Christ, the Prince of Peace, will bring it about. But at the same time, let's not go either against Scripture or beyond Scripture in our viewpoint of God, Jesus, and salvation, and the gospel that saves.
Who is the God of the Jehovah's Witness?
Well, that's a very good question. The God of the Jehovah's Witnesses is Jehovah, and they think that you must call God by that name or you're not saved. You must call upon Jehovah, they say. This God is not a Trinitarian God. That is to say, they do not believe that there is one God, and within the unity of the Godhead, are three co-eternal persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Rather, they would say that the Father is God Almighty, Jesus is a lesser God who was created at a point in time, and the Holy Spirit is simply the force or the energy of God by which God accomplishes his will in the world. And so very clearly you can see that this is a departure from what historic Christians have long believed. What they will tell you, Todd, is that the Trinity is actually a pagan doctrine that penetrated the Christian church early on in church history, that in fact the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And you know what? They're right. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the concept is. It is clearly a biblical teaching. And so even though they try to argue against the Trinity in that way, the biblical and scriptural evidence is solidly on the side of Trinitarian Christians.
Their teaching about Jesus Christ, you mentioned it briefly just a moment ago, that he is a lesser God that has a beginning point, that is a point at which he was created by the greater God, Jehovah. That sounds strangely familiar, very much like a very ancient heresy that the Christian church early encountered on the person of Christ, Arianism.
Well, you're right. The ancient heretic Arius was a man that stood up against Athanasius, who was on the Orthodox side. And Arius basically cited the same verses that Jehovah's Witnesses today cite in arguing against the absolute deity of Christ. And they would argue, for example, from John 14:28, where the Father says, or where Jesus says, in fact, the Father is greater than I am. And they would point to Colossians 1:15, where it says that Jesus is the firstborn of creation. And then they take you over to 1 Corinthians 11:3, where we are told that the head of Christ is God. And so based on those verses, Arius decided that Jesus must be a lesser essence or lesser divine than the Father is. And in the same way, the Jehovah's Witnesses cite those exact same verses in proving the same thing. The problem is, Todd, is they take those verses out of context, and those verses really don't support their position like they think it does. Just to give you one example, it is true that Jesus is called the firstborn of creation, but that word firstborn carries the idea of preeminent one. David in the Old Testament was called the firstborn, even though he was the lastborn son of Jesse. He was called firstborn because he was the preeminent son and even became the king of Israel. And so Jesus is the firstborn of creation, not in the sense of being created, but in the sense of being preeminent over the creation.
What is the Watchtower Society?
Well, that's the society that Charles Taze Russell founded, and it might interest you to know that Charles Taze Russell really had two problems with traditional Christian theology. He didn't like the doctrine of the Trinity, and he didn't like the doctrine of hell. And so he had some Bible studies with some like-minded Bible students and eventually founded the Watchtower Society. And after he wrote some literature, he hired a bunch of evangelists to go door-to-door selling this literature. And that was really the beginning of the Watchtower Society. Since that time, the society has grown in numbers, and they're now experts in producing all kinds of literature. Their first printing is traditionally around 5 million copies, and that's way more than my books, I can tell you that. That's up there with Dan Brown, in fact. But they also have Jehovah's Witnesses all over the world that distribute that literature door-to-door. And in fact, they often appeal to that verse in Philippians 2:12 that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And they say that part of working out that salvation is going door to door, handing out that literature.
With what level of authority does a Jehovah's Witness regard the Watchtower Society and the literature that it's constantly producing?
Well, they view the society itself as the voice of Jehovah, and in fact, in a number of their past Watchtower magazines, they have encouraged what they call dependent learning, dependent Bible study. And what they mean by that is that you are to be dependent upon the Watchtower Society as the guiding light to help you to understand the Scriptures. And in fact, Charles Taze Russell once said that if you read his series called Studies in the Scriptures, that you would remain in the light, even if you didn't read the Bible. However, if you tried to read the Bible apart from the Watchtower literature, and in particular his books, then you would be out of the light within 2 years. And so very clearly they give a very high authority to the Watchtower Society, which brings us to ask a question. What did Christians do before the 1800s when the Watchtower Society came into being? How did Christians before then understand the Word of God? And that's a question I always like to ask the Jehovah's Witnesses.
And with only about 30 seconds before we take a break, do they have an answer for that question?
Well, not really. They basically avoid that question and go back to some of their basic points about God, about Jesus, and about the gospel that saves. Unfortunately, their gospel is not the gospel that saves, because it's a works-oriented salvation from beginning to end, involving complete obedience to the Watchtower Society and its many rules.
We'll get into that on the other side of the break. When they talk about salvation, they mean something materially different than historic Christianity. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 17th. We're talking about the teachings and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be giving away copies of Ron Rhodes' new book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses, to listeners with the best questions or comments. So this break is a great time to call with your questions or comments and a chance to get Ron's book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. When we come back, if God is not the Trinity as revealed in Holy Scripture, if Jesus is not fully God in the same sense that the Jehovah God is, if the Bible will lead you astray without the Watchtower Society's literature to set you straight, then what does the Watchtower literature teach about your condition and salvation, if we can even call it a salvation? Stay tuned.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon, let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Disabled children are often the target of abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Britain's Society for the Protection of Unborn Children has responded to news that three Down syndrome babies are aborted every day by proposing research on abortion for disability. John Smeaton, the Society's national director, said, "We must find out whether pre-abortion counseling includes a warning that women are more likely to suffer psychologically if they abort a child because of his or her disability." Additional research would ask politicians that support abortion for disability how they can reconcile that with opposing it because of a baby's sex or skin color.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Yes, the Bible has the power to change lives. But it does more than just give practical advice. The Bible is the law book of God's kingdom. It sets forth the principles we must adhere to if we are to live forever under that kingdom's rule. Jehovah's Witnesses have helped millions to gain an accurate knowledge of God's Word and to apply its power in their lives. As the Bible promised at Psalm 145:16, God will open his hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Again, an excerpt from a promotional video from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, a lot of the language is the same. You might even hear talk of heaven and salvation and things like that. But if you reject hell, and in this way, the Jehovah's Witnesses have kind of painted themselves into a corner by historical accident, if you assert that not even all Jehovah's Witnesses will go to heaven, what kind of a salvation are they talking about? Ron Rhodes is our guest. We're talking about the teachings and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses on this Thursday afternoon, December the 17th, giving away a copy, two copies of his book, in fact, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses, to callers with the best questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Ron, when they talk about heaven or eternal life in the kingdom of God, what are Jehovah's Witnesses really talking about?
You know, that's interesting because the Jehovah's Witnesses actually believe there are two different groups of saved people, and really only 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses go to heaven, and these are the anointed class. These are the elite Jehovah's Witnesses who will rule with Christ as spirit creatures in heaven. They are resurrected spiritually like Jesus was and rule from heaven as spirits. All other Jehovah's Witnesses go to an earthly paradise. And that's the great majority of Jehovah's Witnesses throughout history. And it's interesting that back in 1935, it was Judge Rutherford who claimed to receive a revelation to the effect that the 144,000 slots were now filled up, and that from that point forward, all Jehovah's Witnesses would look forward to an earthly reality. And as I said earlier, it's all based upon works. They will claim that grace is involved, that grace basically amounts to having the wonderful opportunity to go out and earn your salvation. In other words, God gives you that free gift of now having the ability to go out and earn your salvation. And of course, that's not really grace at all, but that's the way they define it. And salvation is impossible apart from total obedience to the Watchtower Society. You must come to Jehovah's Organization for Salvation. That is a direct quote from the Watchtower magazine. And so this does not sound like the gospel that you find in the Bible. They've made it very difficult with lots of rules involved. And understandably, no Jehovah's Witness can know whether or not they're really saved. Not until the end of the millennial kingdom, which they talk about. And it's their thinking that when they die, there's every possibility that they will remain snuffed out of consciousness. They only hope with everything that is in them that one day Jehovah will raise them from the dead and they will be granted eternal life.
Mike is listening in Salt Lake City. Mike, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much. I'm talking to a lifelong friend of mine that has been a Jehovah's Witness as long as I've known him, and his thoughts seem to lean more towards learning about God and learning how to be close to God. The conversations that I've had with him trying to find out exactly what they believe, the 144,000 is very prominent on his side, and exactly what you just said was almost verbatim what he was telling me. But I'm looking for, I think, another angle to find out. And not so much trip him up. He's a good friend of mine, but just another angle to find out exactly how they feel about Jesus, and if it even applies. Because he, as my friend, has not brought Jesus up at all in all of our conversations. He seems to steer away from that.
Interesting, Mike. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Salt Lake City, Ron. Your best advice.
Well, in fact, I think that the best thing to do is, when you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, the best thing is to segue as soon as possible into a discussion of who Jesus is and what he accomplished for us in salvation. They might want to talk about Christmas or birthdays or blood transfusions or, you know, things like that. My recommendation is spend 2 or 3 minutes talking about that, and then as fast as you can, switch the conversation over to Jesus. And among the questions I like to ask Jehovah's Witnesses about Jesus are based upon a comparison of the Old and the New Testaments. For example, in Isaiah 44:24, we find Jehovah speaking to his people, and Jehovah says to them, I alone created the universe. There is no creator but me. I created the universe all by myself alone. Then I take him to the New Testament in Colossians 1:16 and John 1:3, where it states fairly clearly that Jesus himself was the agent of creation. And so here's the question. If only Jehovah is the creator, and Jehovah created the universe all by himself alone, and yet Jesus is called the creator in the New Testament, well, what does that tell us about Jesus? You see, it's by asking questions like that that you start to get the attention of a Jehovah's Witness. And what I've done in my book is I provide over 300 similar questions that you can ask to help them to see the truth about Jesus and the rest of biblical orthodox, historically orthodox Christianity.
Ken in Orlando, Florida, sends us an email. How would Jehovah's Witnesses deal with Isaiah chapter 44, 45, and 46, where God says, I am the only God, there is no other. I know of no other God. I am the first and the last. And in Revelation 1, Jesus identifies himself as that very God when he says, I am the first and the last. How would they respond?
Oh, that's a great bunch of verses there. And in fact, I think that those verses pretty much nail Jehovah's Witnesses. But what they would say, I think, in response to the Isaiah passages is that, Jehovah is talking, and Jehovah is saying there's no God Almighty like he is. That Jesus is a lesser God, so he wouldn't qualify for those verses. But in fact, by comparing Isaiah with the book of Revelation, where Jesus claims to be the first and the last, it's very clear that there is a connection between Isaiah and Jesus Christ. You know, those same comments about God Almighty apply to Jesus. They think that those verses in Isaiah which refer to a mighty God, like in Isaiah 9:6, that's a reference to Jesus, whereas the other verses which talk about Jehovah are references to the Father, as if there's two gods. Truth is, Todd, that same word for mighty God that they think is used of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6 is used of Jehovah in Isaiah chapter 10. There's only one mighty God, Elohim, and that's a term that's used both of the Father and of Jesus Christ in the Bible. So whether they like it or not, the book of Isaiah, compared with the book of Revelation, supports the doctrine of the Trinity.
David in Kansas City says, it seems that Jehovah's Witnesses appeal to Holy Scripture when witnessing is like a bombing run. They try to outpassage the person who answers the door. What questions can we ask to guide them toward discussing our Christ-centered interpretation of God's Word? Good question, David. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. Ron?
Well, that's a great question. And in fact, it's similar to what I said moments ago in comparison Isaiah 44:24 with Colossians 1:16. By comparing the Old and the New Testaments, you can really make some great points with a Jehovah's Witness. Another similar question might involve Isaiah 43:11, where Jehovah is talking to his people, and Jehovah says, I am the only Savior. There is no Savior but me. But then in the New Testament, in Titus 2, verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is our great God and Savior. And so what you want to ask is, if only Jehovah is the Savior, as Isaiah 43:11 says, and if Jesus is called our great God and Savior, well, what does that say about the nature of Jesus? I mean, isn't he God? Same thing is true of Isaiah 6, where it talks about the glory of Jehovah God. Isaiah witnesses incredible glory of Jehovah. And yet in John 12:41, it says very clearly that what Isaiah beheld was actually the glory of Jesus Christ. And so you want to ask a question. If Isaiah saw the glory of Jehovah in Isaiah 6, and if John 12:41 says that Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus, well, what does that say about Jesus? You see, so by asking a series of questions comparing the Old and the New Testaments, you can really help the eyes of the Jehovah's Witness to open and to start reading the biblical text for what it really says instead of reading the Bible with the eyeglasses of the Watchtower Society. And by asking those kind of questions, you can actually help them take off those eyeglasses of the Watchtower Society so they can see the text of Scripture very clearly.
Don in Junction City, Kansas says, when the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door, they told me that they were Bible teachers and that they had the truth that the church does not have. To my surprise, they had the NIV Bible with them, the New International Version. I asked them to explain Romans 8 to me, and they got themselves tangled up in a fly, like a fly in a spider web, and then they left with about 30 seconds. Your thoughts there?
Well, it would be strange for them to call themselves Bible teachers and not be able to explain Romans 8. And it's stranger still that they had an NIV Bible with them, since the traditional Bible of the Jehovah's Witnesses is the New World Translation, and they over and over again say that that's the only reliable translation. Truth is, it is a biased translation that supports Watchtower doctrine, and it is dangerous.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation for 10 more minutes with Dr. Ron Rhodes on the teachings and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Still time to respond to your questions or your comments about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Our phone number on this Thursday afternoon, December the 17th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You could Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Listeners with the best questions and comments will receive a copy of Ron Rhodes' new book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss John the Baptist. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. We'll also play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
From His Fullness, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
We who are utterly empty, with nothing in us but sin and corruption, we receive from Jesus, this child, everything that He is as both God and man. The fullness of deity dwells bodily in Him.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size, year-end, tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2009.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Delivering apologetics artillery right on target. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Under God's kingdom, the hopes and dreams common to all men and women will find complete fulfillment, good health, secure family life, satisfying work. The hope of this grand future sustains millions of Jehovah's Witnesses today. It can sustain you.
Again, some more from a promotional video from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses. We're talking about their teachings and practices. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest, founder and president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, based in Frisco, Texas, author of the book Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. When you use the Amazon.com link, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. So what happens to people like you and me, historic Christians, Ron, when we reject the teachings of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, when we reject the errors in teaching and practice of the Jehovah's Witnesses? What's to become of us according to their viewpoint?
Well, it's their thinking that we are a part of apostate Christendom, and it's a really a false church that's rooted in the teachings of both Satan and paganism. And so because of that, we're not truly saved. You must call upon Jehovah to be saved, and you must follow the rules of the Watchtower to be saved. They believe that at the moment of death that you don't continue in consciousness. They believe in the doctrine of annihilation. They reject the idea of hell as an eternal place of punishment, but rather define hell as the common grave of mankind. And so, you know, they do not believe that those who reject their view of God will live forever in a place of punishment, but will simply be snuffed out of existence. And it's their thinking also that even those who are righteous, even those who are Jehovah's Witnesses at the moment of death, will have no consciousness either, not until the moment that they are resurrected. And at the moment of death, it's a scary thing because, as I said a little bit earlier, no Jehovah's Witness can have any kind of an assurance of salvation because they don't know if they've done quite enough to please Jehovah throughout their lives.
If they need to, in essence, continue in whatever prescribed works the Watchtower Society tells them they need to do and obey the Watchtower Society in everything in order to have even a hope of quote-unquote salvation, then what do they teach about Jesus' work? Was he a savior? What was he doing dying on a cross? Do they believe any of that?
Well, they do believe that Jesus died not on a cross but on a stake, a torture stake. And they believe that the human life that Jesus laid down in sacrifice was exactly equal to the human life that Adam fell with. Now, the backdrop is that they don't believe that in the incarnation Jesus was God in human flesh. In fact, they will tell you that when Jesus was born as a man, the Father, or Jehovah, took the life essence out of the Archangel Michael, which is the way that Jesus was originally created back in the Old Testament, and God put that same life essence into a human being so that Jesus was a human being alone. He was only a human being. Yes, a perfect human, but nothing more than a human. And so that's who died on a stake, not God in human flesh. And they do talk about how that's an important aspect of salvation because it took care of the sin of Adam, but now you have to take the football and run with it. You have to basically go out and share the news with people all around your neighborhoods by distributing literature, and you need to obey the various rules of the Watchtower. Otherwise, you cannot be saved.
Pat emails us saying, I led the conversation with a Jehovah's Witness in this way. Why are we sinners? They agreed that we are sinners because of our sire, Adam. So I noted that Jesus is the Son of God. They agreed. Then Jesus is holy because his sire is God, who is holy, and they left. Again, another account. Your thoughts there, Ron?
Well, they agree that Jesus was the Son of God, but they don't understand the significance of it. They think that John 3:16 and other verses that talk about Jesus as the Son indicate that Jesus is a lesser deity instead of being God Almighty. And a point that you'd want to make with them is that many theologians believe that the term Son of indicates sameness of nature, so that when Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he was actually claiming to be God, which explains why the Jews picked up stones to kill Jesus whenever Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, because they understood he was actually claiming deity. And so this is one of those cases, Todd, where they use the same words we do, but they pour a different meaning into those words. And that's what makes it especially dangerous, because you might be talking to a Jehovah's Witness and think that you agree with them, because you're using the same words. The tricky thing is that they're defining those words differently, which means that you need to define your words when you're speaking with a Jehovah's Witness.
Michael emails us with this question. How would a Jehovah's Witness answer this? If I'm not perfect in his sight, that is in God's sight, how can I expect anything but his wrath and my damnation? Ron?
Well, that's a good question, and if you really want to interpret the scriptures in a way that are faithful to the scriptures, there's no way that you can please Jehovah, because even our most righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. There's no way that you can measure up to the infinite righteousness of God, and that's a great witnessing point. You know, the fact that we all fall short of God's glory means that we need a Savior to take our place and to bring us justification, a wonderful doctrine which involves God declaring us righteous at the moment of faith. And, of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to come back by saying you have to obey the watchtower and earn that justification. But that is not the biblical pattern at all. The Apostle Paul, if anybody, would have earned salvation by works, but even he acknowledged that it was an impossibility, and that without the grace of God and the doctrine of justification, salvation simply would not be possible.
With only a minute here, do we have any idea who is actually writing and producing the literature that guides the daily beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses? With only a minute.
Well, it's actually the governing body that guides that, and you know, they have a group of people with the governing body that puts that literature together. They don't put any names on there because they want all glory to go to Jehovah, and it also communicates the idea that ultimately this literature comes from Jehovah, and therefore this literature represents the voice of Jehovah. These are really the books of fallible men who are widely practicing eisegesis, reading their own meanings into the text. And that's why I advise all Christians to test everything they say against the Word of God, the Bible.
Dr. Ron Rhodes is founder and president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, based in Frisco, Texas. He's author of the book Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. Ron, thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Mike in Salt Lake City and David in Kansas City, send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Give us your mailing address, and we'll send you Ron Rhodes' book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. Thanks to everybody who called, all the questions, and the comments as well. Folks, Christmas is just 8 days away. If you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, consider the new Lutheran Study Bible. Does not claim to be, in its study notes, the voice of God, just good, solid scholarship drawn from Scripture itself. The text of the Bible, yes, it does claim that is the very living voice of God, inspired, inerrant, and trustworthy, and attached to it the very best of scholarship and of devotional material. That's the new Lutheran Study Bible. Think about it as a Christmas gift. Give Concordia Publishing House a call and order one, 1-800-325-3040. Order two. 1-800-325-3040 makes a great Christmas gift. Or you can browse before you buy. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can help us defend the faith and teach the truth by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can make a secure online donation right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Or you can make a year-end gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thank you in advance for your support, for all your support throughout this year, and for thinking of us towards the end of 2009. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll talk John the Baptist, a big theme in the season of Advent, even as Advent winds down. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. Oh, what's new is often just a recycling of what's old. The church first saw this error with regard to Christ long ago in the 3rd and 4th century and rejected it, clearly rejected it, as unscriptural and as detrimental to the very gospel message that is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. To say that Jesus is anything less than true God, to make him into a created being, to reduce his work at the cross to moral example or merely a payment for a part of our sin, and to limit the scope of his atonement to a mere 144,000, and to consign in this error those who believe and follow these practices to a darkness that is never enlightened again by Scripture, because they're directed to the words of men, the teachings of men that change over time. That's what is the great danger of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and the Jehovah's Witnesses. What do they need to hear? They need to be pointed back to the center of this infallible and errant Word of God, the Bible, and there they will see Jesus, God and man, crucified and raised again from the dead for their full salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.